The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Hi, this is Kevin McCullough. Thanks for listening to the Christian Outlook podcast, where we cover today's issues from a perspective that honors your Christian faith. Our podcast is brought to you through a partnership with the Pepperdine Graduate School of Public Policy. Here's another piece I trust you'll enjoy.
Well,
I thought every good liberal was against banning books.
You know, as long as those books align with their ideology, that's fine, right? But if
not,
doesn't
sound like much of a principle.
No. So Amazon, of course, Amazon started out as a bookseller decades ago. And, you know, like they control just about everything in the marketplace, they also control the large majority of book sales. So if your book's on Amazon, hey, good for you. You've got a shot at selling a lot of copies. But if Amazon bans your book, well, forget about it. I mean, you know, the idea of going into a bookstore now, as quaint and as beautiful as that sounds, as delightful as that sounds, that's not happening for most people. So last week, Amazon banned a book about transgenderism, When Harry Became Sally. Here to talk to us about that is Dr. Carl Truman. Dr. Truman joins us from the Department of Biblical and Religious Studies at Grove City College. And he is the author of several books. I'm sure we'll talk about those as our conversation goes along. Carl, welcome to the show. How are you today?
I'm doing well. Thanks for having me back on.
Always sure, a pleasure.
Carl. So it would seem, Carl, that any self-respecting, you know, classical liberal or even contemporary liberal would say, when I ask the question, are you in favor of banning books? But with an organization as big as Amazon and Apple to follow it up, just deciding not to publish this volume is, in a sense, doing that.
Yes. And I think the answer is these are not your grandparents' liberals we're dealing with anymore. I would consider myself in many ways to be a traditional liberal.
So would I.
On that
yeah.
front, a big believer in freedom of speech, freedom of religion. The best way to drive out bad ideas is to allow everybody to have their say and allow the good ideas to come to the fore and inevitably triumph. But that's not the world we live in now. We live in a world where big tech companies, I think, are increasingly going to be censoring the information to which we get access and the kind of arguments that we're allowed to look at.
Right. So we all feared George Orwell's 1984, the idea of Big Brother. Big Brother, we always thought was going to be government. Little did we know that it was going to be tech companies that are going to rule the roost. So what does that mean, Carl? I mean, the idea that a book that does not agree with those who are in power, that is now disappearing, we are not allowed to have this conversation. To speak about transgenderism in less than praising terms is something that is verboten in this society we live in today.
Yes, and that's a very dangerous place to be in. It's one thing, if you like, for the government to be passing legislation or things, and that can be worrying enough, but at least when you're dealing with a government, there are periodic elections, and if you don't like what's going on, you can cast your vote and try to get rid of them. When you're dealing with what are effectively unaccountable tech companies, it's a whole different ballgame. First of all, the First Amendment doesn't apply because these are not agencies of the federal government. And secondly, it's not immediately obvious how one can resist them. I mean, Amazon dominates the book-selling market and therefore has huge influence with publishers. No publisher is going to publish a book that they don't think they can market on Amazon. They're on a hiding to nothing at that point.
So I wonder what the current thinking on that is. Now, I certainly understand that people who are running big tech companies aren't going to be supportive of Ryan T. Anderson's approach, or not his approach, but they're not going to be supportive of his point of view. But that's fine. You know, Amazon posts Mein Kampf, right? Last time I looked, it had like 4 stars. And I don't think they, you know, appreciate his approach either.
No, I would. Well, one would hope not.
Yes, I'm assuming that they don't.
We can assume they don't, but in the last 5 or 6 weeks, I've had must have half a dozen emails from Amazon encouraging me to buy a book on technology by a Theodore Kaczynski. And if you look up Theodore
Kaczynski, that's the Unabomber, right?
He's the Unabomber, yes. So Amazon are not only selling the Unabomber stuff, they're actively promoting it, which makes the ban on Ryan Anderson ironic. Even worst case scenario, Ryan Anderson is less likely to kill as many people as Adolf Hitler or even Ted Kaczynski, I think. So why is he banned? It's a fascinating question.
Okay, so then the book, Ryan Anderson's book, When Harry Became Sally. Talk to us about this. I mean, look, if you are a transgendered adult or if you're an adult thinking about transitioning, you go for it. But the problem is when this is sold to children, some as young as 4 years of age, that, you know, this is a good thing to do. This is an okay thing to do. We lift you up as a hero somehow. That's where the problem is. It's being sold to children as you can find your own inner joy or your own peace by switching, you know, sexes and allowing yourself to be mutilated, whether it's through your reduction of breasts or your genitalia.
Yes, and I think that came out very clearly last week with Rand Paul's questioning of Dr. Levine at her Senate confirmation hearing, when he was repeatedly pressing on the good doctor the question of genital mutilation and the authority, the responsibility, the competence of children to make that kind of life-changing decision at such an early age. And Levine's adamant refusal to answer the questions and to answer the testimonies and answer the statistics that he was provided indicated that there was no answer. The evidence clearly points towards somebody stepping up and being the adult in the room and taking responsibility here. It's obviously not going to be Dr. Levine or the government on this one.
Mm-hmm. So we're talking about two issues. Both, I think, are of great interest. One is the issue of transgenderism, especially when it comes to medical treatments applied to children. And then the other question is just why we're concerned about banning books, or why we're thinking that the best way to approach any issue whatsoever is to just have people not understand different sides of it.
Yeah, and of course, the history of censorship is not a great one, because by and large, when things get censored in history, they tend to take on a life of their own anyway. My own area of expertise is the Reformation. You know, the Catholics typically burned books. Martin Luther would reprint Catholic books with his own introduction to them. He would subvert them. Hmm. And ultimately, Luther wins. Censorship can be a very counterproductive thing in the long run. So there's a sense in which Amazon's approach here, it represents massive corporate power, but also intellectual bankruptcy, I think. And in the long run, it will not, sure. I don't think it will serve them or the society that they claim to be serving well.
Yeah, I don't believe it will either. It is hard, though, to get our heads around the place that we're in, where an organization like Amazon carries this much weight economically.
Yes, and this is where I think I'm not a huge government stepping in and doing stuff at every opportunity sort of guy, but I do think that a very good argument could be made for breaking up some of these big tech monopolies. Right. If we're in a situation where a man who refuses to bake a cake for a gay wedding finds himself dragged before the courts, that's one man, one cake shop in one city. Surely there's a case for some kind of government or legal intervention when we're dealing with what is functionally a monopoly of bookselling in the United States.
Yes. From Grove City College, we're speaking with Dr. Carl Truman. His brand new book is called The Rise and Triumph of the Modern Self, Cultural Amnesia, Expressive Individualism, and the Road to Sexual Revolution. So, Carl, like yourself and the circles that you work in academia, you know, obviously with your new book, The Rise and Triumph of the Modern Self, you spent a considerable amount of time in research, in thought, and then in writing. This may have taken you, I don't know, a year, two, perhaps three or more, or maybe a lifetime of thought. So other men and women, other authors who would propose this idea in their own mind and then seeing themselves struck down by Amazon and the inability to get those ideas out into the marketplace, if that would come to the fore, many more people would say, you know, I shouldn't bother to waste my time in trying to get something out. Maybe I'll focus on a different subject, because in the end, no one will hear or read about this in the first place. So it's just not worth it.
Yeah, and that, you know, that there's a real serious issue there, that this could strangle free inquiry and free thought in a big way. I would say to people who are thinking that way, though, you need to think freely. You need to get your stuff out there. Think about life behind the Iron Curtain. Now, thankfully, we don't live in anything like the Soviet bloc. But the bottom line was, it was vital that those underground presses kept working. It was vital that there was a Samizdat culture there, keeping free thought, free inquiry alive. So I would say we may be moving into an era where we have to think about alternative ways of doing our research, getting our research out, keeping free thought alive, but we have to do it. Because if we simply cave in to big tech, then we've lost already. I think we have to face reality as it is and see how we can press back.
That's Dr. Carl R. Truman, Department of Biblical and Religious Studies at Grove City College. Carl, before you leave us, talk about how things are up at GCC, COVID-wise, and just the atmosphere on campus in general.
It's quiet and subdued, but we're still teaching in person, and everything seems at this moment to be under control. And I think in this semester, with it getting warmer, we're probably over the major hurdle now, and things will get better.
Good. I mean, there for a while there, whether it's at Grove City or any university, especially last semester, things looked a little dicey. So congratulations on weathering the storm and making sure that people are safe, whether it's students or faculty.
Yeah, the administration done a great job for
it. Terrific. Well, Carl, you do a great job here. Thank you so much for your presence on our show monthly.
Thanks very much for having me.
The rise and triumph of the modern self, cultural amnesia, expressive individualism, and the road to sexual revolution. Dr. Carl Truman from Grove City College.
Thanks for listening to Christian Outlook. Our program is coming to you today in partnership with the Pepperdine Graduate School of Public Policy. It's America's most unique graduate leadership programs offered on Pepperdine's breathtaking campus in Malibu, California. Learn more at publicpolicy.pepperdine.edu. If you enjoy our podcast, take a moment and tell a friend to subscribe today.